Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of the future of Islam. Today we will end our rebuttal for the question which was given by one of the audience members who attended the Future of Islam lecture by Professor John Esposito in the University of Kentucky, which took place on September 10, 2014. Then we will move to the last question which was given in this lecture. Well, first, let me remind you of this question, which in it, the person who asked the question to Professor John Esposito said to him, "You called the overthrow of the previous president of Egypt, Mohamed Morsi, a coup." Then the person who asked this question continued saying, "Only the Muslim Brotherhood of Egypt believes it was a coup. How do you go over your understanding?" And as we proved to you in our previous broadcast, that statement was 100% true. For what happened in Egypt was not a coup, but it was a continuation of the original revolution. But as we heard Professor John Esposito, he did not give any answer. He simply went in circles. And here is the last portion of Professor John Esposito's answer to this question, which he left long time ago. And as I told you before, he escaped the question, as he escaped the answer of every previous question. He just gone in circles to get his audience lost, as he did a great job. And I hope you are following me so you will not be lost as his audience has gone astray as they listened to his answer. That is when he said,
"So everybody can play a role in wherever you are. You can just use your imagination, whether it's to be a more informed voter, whether it's to put together a discussion group, whether it's to, you know, get yourself into more multicultural situations. It's like the civil rights movement. There were people who could march in streets and deal with that. I don't just mean African Americans. I mean, you know, non-African Americans. And there were some people who just knew they couldn't do that, but they could support it by writing columns in newspapers. They could support it by, you know, you name it."
You may think that he is getting to the end of answering the question. He will go back to the question. No, he did not. He just went to another circle. Inform yourself. Play a great role. How are you going to do that? Just use your imagination. What imagination, professor? We're talking about fact, not fiction. No imagination in it. What happened in Egypt was not a coup. It was a revolution. Your friends, the Muslim Brotherhood, lost because the Egyptians threw the president of the Muslim Brotherhood, Mohamed Morsi, out of office because he is a sick man, and all those who believe in him not to be a sick man must be lost. People like yourself, a lost person. No, Professor John Esposito wants us to create discussion groups, multicultural situation. That is when he advised his audience to get themselves into a multicultural situation. Join hand with the Muslim Brotherhood and other Muslims who are lost, like the Muslim Brotherhood. Let's all hold hand and sing Kumbaya and use your imagination. Don't forget now, use your imagination. Because without your imagination, you're going to find yourself in trouble. But if you use your imagination, we can all go and live in La La Land. Multicultural has nothing to do with what happened in Egypt. Discussion group will not answer the question of what happened in Egypt. Then Professor Esposito wants his audience to march in the street. Cool! Don't you love that? March in the street. Maybe Professor John Esposito has something to do with Black Lives Matter and Antifa, because they're listening to his advice. They created a group and they marched in the streets. You can call peaceful riots until bad things happen. And if you're a good liberal, you just turn your eyes away. Don't look at the burning buildings and the burning homes and all the looting of the businesses and the destruction, and it's still a peaceful riot. So yeah, Professor Esposito wants us to march in the streets like the civil rights movement. Wow. He's not talking about just about African-American black people. No, he's talking about all of us Americans. Let's march in the streets and let's have peaceful riots. That is the answer for the question about what happened in Egypt. Was it a coup or was it a true revolution? He believes it was a coup. And what is his proof of that? He went in 4 or 5 circles talking about 4 or 5 topics have nothing to do with the question. And he wants us to just create discussion groups and get ourselves into a multicultural situation. And if you cannot march in the street like the civil rights movement, Professor Esposito has another good solution for you. You know what it is? He said, and there's some people who knew they could not do that, but they could support by writing columns in newspapers. They could support it by, you know, you name it. And that is the beauty of the writings and the media of the liberals of America. They can help as well as the rest of those who are marching in the street to create the beautiful socialist communist America. Anyway, so Professor Esposito ended that question and then he told the moderator the following statement.
Let's just do 2 more because they've been very patient. One more.
Many, many great questions, but we just don't have time. A few of the questions asked about the fact that there are Muslims from America and from Europe who are joining ISIS.
Yeah.
Who are adopting this terrorist mentality. How do you evaluate that danger?
Yeah.
What to do?
Wow, what a great question. There are Muslims from America and Europe who are joining ISIS, who are adopting this terrorist mentality. How do you evaluate that danger? What to do? Wow, that is a great question. And if you think Professor Esposito will answer that question, well, good luck again. Yes, there are multiple great questions I've been giving, and not one question has been answered yet, my friends. I wish I can challenge Professor Esposito in a debate just to cover the question and answer session. We will ask the question again, and we'll give him a second chance to answer the question. And obviously, he will not answer because he, A, does not know the answer, or B, knows the answer he will not give to the American people, because then he will lose his income. He will lose his business. He is existing in America to brainwash the American people to make them believe that Islam is a loving and a peaceful religion. And he will not change his attitude or his opinion about Islam and Muslims no matter what. So I would like to challenge Professor John Esposito just to cover the questions which he received in this lecture to give him a second chance to answer these questions right. And if not, I will answer these questions quoting the words of Allah in the Quran and the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith and prove it from the Sunnah of Islam. That is what Muslims believe, and that's exactly what Muslims do. So the question here again is this. What are we going to do about the Muslims of America and the Muslims of Europe? Hello, my friends, are you listening to the question? There are Muslims not only from the Middle East who came to attack us in America on September 11, but there are Muslims Americans and Muslims Europeans who believe and practice Islam by joining ISIS, by having the same adoption of the terrorist mentality. And what Professor Esposito is going to say about fixing that problem? Are you excited about listening to his answer? I don't want you to be disappointed. There is no answer. For Professor Esposito, we'll use the same system, chasing rabbit, changing the subject from one thing to another thing, going in circles. ignoring the truth about why we have these Muslims in Europe and Muslims in America joining ISIS. The real reason, Islam, the word of Allah in the Quran, the teaching of Muhammad in the Hadith, and he will find any reason somewhere else to say, here is why we have the violence. Once again, it will be a long answer as Professor Esposito will go on and on and on. And to make sense out of what he is saying, I'm going to break his answer into small sections where we will expose each and every one of these nonsensical statements.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet? Muhammad. The new faith? The religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
And now, let us hear his hogwash answer.
I think that that is a danger. I was a member of the European Commission's... I can never remember this. I even have it on my CV and I can't remember. The European Commission's... the equivalent of Commission on Radicalization. There were two Americans that were part of that. So we were looking at the European situation from about 2004 or 5 to about 2008. Four different countries. You know, what radicalized youth?
So far, we learned that Professor Esposito was a very important member, one of the two Americans who were looking for the radicalized youth in Europe, in four different countries. Which ones? We do not know and we don't care. They're studying the radicalization of the youth, that is the Muslim youth, in Europe between 2004 or 5 to 2008. What does this have to do with the question? Nothing. So we're going to move on to the next segment. That is when he said...
Then you got the American situation. Remember I said that you got different socioeconomically, your position in society, okay? That means you're going to have much more alienation in Europe, right? If, in fact, your grandfather, I mean, when a lot of people came to Europe, they were workers who were welcomed as workers and weren't expected to stay. And what a lot of the workers who came, they were workers who came to work and didn't expect to stay. And they were workers often from rural areas coming in to do the more menial jobs. Okay, now you stay and you need to work your way up.
Now Professor Esposito is sharing truth about the Muslims who traveled to Europe. They did not go to live in Europe as immigrants to be part of the European society, but they went there as workers. Because that was the deal in the 70s between the Muslims of the Muslim world and the people of Europe. The Europeans ask for the oil from the Saudi Arabia and Arab countries, and the Muslim Arab made a deal that we will give you oil, but at the same time, we need some jobs so you can hire some of our people to come to work in Europe. They also wanted a better education for their children. And the people of Europe, with their naive heart, they believed these lies of the Muslim from the Muslim world. For the Muslims, have agenda, and the agenda is to invade Europe. to take over Europe, to expand their territory, to expand their land. They were not in Europe for the hope to work for a couple years and leave Europe and go back to their homes, or for their children and grandchildren to go to Europe to have a better education and leave and live a better life in their own countries. No, the Muslims' agenda from the 60s and the 70s is to take over Europe. How? By infiltrating Europe. How? By pretending to be there for a work season or for a study season, and then they leave the country because they know that is the only way the British and the French and the German and the Holland and the Denmark and the Swedish will allow the Muslims to be in their countries. But what the people of Europe, again, did not know, that is just an excuse for the Muslims to set their feet in the European land. And when they go there, they're not leaving. They are for sure uneducated. For sure they are lacking so many of the facts about freedom and democracy and things about Europe. And the Europeans were very naive to allow this to take place. And the result is the real Islam showed up later. Remember, in Islam, Allah taught the Muslims to be peaceful when they do not have the upper hand. And that is exactly what Allah taught the Muslim in Quran chapter 47 and verse 35, when it says, do not be weak and do not call for peace when you have the upper hand. And that is exactly what Muhammad did in the Sunnah of Muhammad, the way how Muslims live. When he immigrated himself with his few followers, less than 100, to the city of Yathrib, a Jewish community, Muhammad was so peaceful and so loving. A few years later, he became barbaric. He became savage. He started practicing the teachings of Allah in the final verses, the Medini verses. And that is when he first gave the Jewish people, the people of the city of Yathrib, the option to run for their life. And then later, for those who choose not to leave, he killed. Not only in the city of Yathrib, which he took by the edge of the sword, changing its name from Yathrib to Medina to be the first holy city for the Muslims, as Muhammad himself owned the city. Then he returned to the city of Mecca and did the same. And then he and the thousands of his followers continued to do the same with every neighboring city and neighboring village until Saudi Arabia became the first Muslim society. That's exactly why Muslims went to Europe. They did not go there for a job or for a better education. They went there to invade the country. So now let's look at the answer of Professor Esposito. He said that the Muslims who live in Europe, even though he spoke about America first, but he went back to Europe, somehow he was confused. He does not concentrate in the giving of the answer as he is chasing his rabbits. He said they have different social economically. Of course, the people of Europe are rich and the Muslims are poor. That's why they went to work in Europe for the masters. And your position in society. Yes, of course, there's a big difference between the Muslims who are traveling from Egypt or any Muslim country to go to work in Europe to make a living, to save some money so that in the plan to go back to his country with some money. Of course, the owners of the businesses are rich and the workers are poor. Logic, sir. He said that means you are having much more alienation in Europe. So who has the problem here? Should I get out of my house and give it to the guy who comes to paint it? Should I leave my farm for the workers who come to harvest my grapes? What do you expect me to do? Should I leave England and Germany and France and give it to the Muslims so we make them feel welcome? They are there as workers, no more or less. The people travel to have a work visa to work for a few years and leave the country. But that's not what happened. Professor Esposito continued to say, if in fact you are grandfather, and then he stopped. But he did not finish the sentence. And then he went on and he said, a lot of people came to Europe. They were workers who were welcomed as workers. Of course they were welcome as workers because that was the original deal. They were not there as immigrants to stay. They were there to work and leave, which they did not do. Professor Esposito said, and They weren't expected to stay. Nobody in Europe thought for a minute that these Muslims coming from the Muslim world to work, and they were welcome as workers, that they will break their work visa and they will stay and they will have children and grandchildren, sir. So whose problem was this? The people of Europe who welcomed the Muslims to come to work to make a better living, or the Muslims who choose not to honor and respect the work visa and they just stayed in Europe anyway, again at the will of the people of Europe? Let's continue. He said, and they were workers often from the rural areas coming in to do the more menial jobs. Well, what do you expect them to do? Become doctors and engineers? Lawyers? Many of them were uneducated, Professor Esposito. Will you offer yourself to some farmers from Iraq or from Egypt to operate on you, maybe fix your eyes or fix your heart? Of course not. They were uneducated people who went to Europe, and they were welcomed as workers for a short time, then they must leave, but they choose not to, and they will do only these kind of jobs because they are not qualified to do better jobs. Once again, whose problem is that? The uneducated workers or the welcoming host? And then Professor Spitzer said, okay, now you stay and you need to work your way up. How in the world, when some Muslims went to Europe to work by receiving work visa, can stay and work their way up? That does not make any sense. Of course, Professor Esposito thinks that's not fair. We should give them the country. After all, they worked hard for many years. But that is not reality, sir. And to continue our study of the future of Islam, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.